The title of the message is The Shepherd and the Sheep and Maybe a Few Goats. And this is part two. And this is based on Jesus telling Peter specifically, but really this is general. It's not just to Peter, but he's sharing his heart with Peter about his sheep. And now, John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17, we read it, but we're going to read it again because this is our kickoff point. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, the "these" that he's talking about, you know, if you remember, Peter got discouraged and went back to what he knew. He went fishing, right? And so I see him, they're just sitting around the fire maybe, and they cook up some fish, and they're eating this fish, and then Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" In other words, "Peter, do you love me more than what your comfort zone, more than these fish?" Because it wasn't just the taste of the fish. It was that this fish is what has given you a living. This is where your security has been. "Do you love me more than these?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," he said to them. And he says, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, I'll say this, that I believe that this happened three times because, for one reason, Peter had denied Jesus three times. And so now Jesus has given Peter an opportunity to close that gap and to be reestablished. And so he gives him an opportunity to confirm his love for him three times. Jesus wanted Peter to know that, yeah, you blew it, and I knew you were going to blow it. I told you were going to blow it, but I want you to know that I have something for you to do, and it's vitally important. I want to entrust to you the most valuable thing in the world to me, my sheep, right? And so this is the heart of God. What I see here is that it was so important to Jesus. The sheep are so important to Jesus that before Jesus left this earth, now this is after the resurrection, but before Jesus leaves this earth in the ascension, he makes sure to take the time to tell Peter, don't forget about the sheep. The sheep are what's important. Peter, this isn't just about you. This is about my people. This is about my church. This is about my sheep. So we see the heart of God in that. And then Pastor Cindy referred to this one earlier in Matthew 9:36. Jesus, talking about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And we did a whole series on that one scripture about the sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the condition they were in. He wept over them. He loved them. And so these verses show his deep concern and his love for the sheep. Now, last week, as again, we were just establishing, setting a foundation for this message, and we talked about asked the question, is there really such a thing as pastoral authority? And we went through that and talked about all that and why pastoral authority is vitally important for the church. Why does God raise up spiritual authority? And by the way, God raises up spiritual authority. Men do not raise up spiritual authority. So if there's spiritual authority, true, legitimate spiritual authority, God raised it up, all right? And so we talk quite a bit. You can go back and watch the message from last week or listen to it on Facebook or our other YouTube page if you missed it and want to hear that. But biblically speaking, the Bible has a lot to say about how to shepherd and the importance of shepherding and the importance of authority along those lines, and even looked at scriptures that where Paul is literally telling Timothy, you have to command certain things. He's not saying ask them to do it. He's saying command them. In other words, it is vitally important. It must be done. And there, Paul commanding people. Why? Because it's authority that comes from heaven, not from a man, all right? And so we took that time, and you can go back and listen to it, but we took that time, shared several scriptures about that subject, about authority, and in the context of sheep and shepherds, talking about pastoral authority, all right? If you don't understand that or you don't get that, then you're never going to walk in unity within the body of Christ. So we said, number one, last week, that why do sheep need a shepherd? Well, number one, sheep are valuable. They're valuable. Even today, on a natural level, naturally speaking, today, sheep are some of the most valuable livestock in the world. And part of it is because of the wool they provide, and part of it is the meat and all. But a lot more money made off of wool than it is the meat of the sheep. Although, if you go try to buy a lamb chop, it's going to cost you, right? They're not cheap. So God compares his people to sheep, and then he calls himself the chief shepherd. And just like natural sheep are valuable to humans, God's sheep are extremely valuable to him. What makes them so valuable? How do we know they're so valuable? You know the value of something based on what somebody is willing to pay for it. And what he was willing to pay for us, sheep. And I said this last week, I am a shepherd, I'm an under shepherd, but I'm first of all a sheep. I'm a sheep before I'm a shepherd, right? And so I say us, we know how valuable we are because God was willing to spend the most valuable thing that's ever come to this earth on us. And that was the blood of his own son, the blood of his only begotten son, the most valuable thing that ever touched this earth. He was willing to spend it for us. That is what establishes our value. Our value was not established by some person's opinion. Our value was established by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so that's number one. Why do we need a shepherd? Because he values them, and sheep need a shepherd. Well, why? Number two, because sheep are vulnerable. Now, in talking about the next two points that we're going to talk about, you will have the opportunity possibly to get offended. You will have the opportunity to possibly feel insulted as a sheep. But remember, when I'm talking about sheep here, this is not me talking about you. This is Jesus talking about all of us. All right? This is when Jesus called us sheep, Jesus knew all these things about sheep, yet he called us sheep. So sheep, first of all, are not aggressive. They're not made to be predators, in other words. In fact, if a sheep is acting like a predator, beware, because one or two things are happening. Either there are wolf in sheep's clothing, which we're warned about, or they got rabies or something. If they're acting like a predator, something ain't right. Every shepherd has to constantly be on the lookout for the wolf. Now, we also are constantly on the lookout for the health of the sheep, you know. And so if you got rabies, we want to help you out, right? But the shepherd, one of the main jobs of the shepherd is to be on the lookout for the wolf. And wolves are sneaky. Every shepherd has to constantly be on what we call, Pastor Mike's first one I ever heard say it, he called it wolf patrol. We have to be on wolf patrol. See, the wolf tries to disguise themselves as the sheep. A wolf, we know, has big fangs. I mean, they're a predator. They're a predator animal. And so they've got these big teeth, big fangs, and they use them very effectively. Well, sheep don't have big fangs or claws or even big horns that they can defend themselves with, and they can't run very fast. They are totally defenseless and require a protector. So God creates this animal that really can't even defend itself. Why? Because he always intended for there to be a human shepherd watching over them. And so this is why Jesus draws this analogy between the two, that he doesn't call us some other animal, he uses sheep. And there's a reason for that. And to be honest with you, we are totally defenseless if we do not have the right, if we are not in our right place and under the right authority that God establishes in our life. Amen? So the wolf is always going to try to make its way into the flock. But sheep are defenseless. They require a protector. So shepherds have to stay on this wolf patrol, and they have to discern when a wolf is present, and they do it because they want to protect the sheep. Why? Because the sheep are extremely valuable, but they're also vulnerable. And sometimes, unfortunately, this is what happens. Sometimes the sheep don't understand and they ignore the warning of the shepherd because they sometimes can be easily swayed by the wrong influences. And so, you know, I've often said, I'll say it again, I never asked to be a pastor. Neither one of us ever asked for this role. We're only here because God put us here. We're only here because God gave us and authorized us to have this and to do this. But, you know, in the natural speaking, I would much rather have a job where I made a lot of money and didn't have to worry about anybody's problems but my own, right? I mean, if I could only just focus on me, my family, just, you know, us, and not ever be concerned or worried about anybody else, well, you know, that sounds wonderful. But that's a selfish way to live. And God had to break that in me, because in order to get me to this place, he had to deal with some stuff in my own heart. And I used to say it was fear that would keep me from wanting to be a pastor. Not wanting to be, but giving into that. I used to say it was fear, and I do believe that fear had a part of it. But when it comes down to it, it was really selfishness. It's self-preserving. Because again, who wants to have to worry about everybody else's problems? Well, I'll tell you, when you begin to get the heart of God and you begin to love his sheep the way God loves his sheep, you can't help but be concerned about other people, whether you're serving in a pastoral role like this or not, because it's the heart of God, because God has the heart of a shepherd. And sometimes what happens is when the shepherd tries to warn people, that, you know, there are people who will come into a flock and they look good. I mean, they look just like a sheep. In fact, their wool is nice and clean, and I mean, they're looking good. The only difference is if you look close enough, you're going to see some fangs in there. And so sometimes the shepherd is able to see things that the sheep can't see. They don't even realize there's a wolf in the midst. And then when the shepherd has to deal with the wolf, because here's the thing about, you know, here's what's amazing. A wolf can actually be transformed into a sheep, right? And a sheep can be transformed into a wolf, depending on their heart and their not ability, but their willingness to lean into the Lord and into the leading of the Holy Spirit instead of to their own understanding, right? What do we want to do when a wolf shows up? Well, what we want to do is we don't want to just beat them up and send them out. What we want to do is turn them into a sheep. We want to lead them to Christ. Have their heart changed so that they can become part of Jesus's flock. Not my flock, Jesus's flock, right? And so that's our heart. But sometimes the wolf don't want to change. And there are times when, you know, the Lord will lead the legitimate pastoral authority to take a stand and say, we've got to do this, whether it's to remove a person from a place of authority or whether it's to, at times, there have been a couple of times when I've had to say, you cannot come here anymore. I hate to ever do that, but there have been a couple of times we had to do that. Why? Because there was a predator trying to prey on the sheep that belonged to Jesus. So there are times when you have to do that, and sometimes the sheep don't understand. They just go, oh, poor guy. Why are you mistreating them? Why are you mistreating them? Or maybe we make it about talent, and it's like, oh, but they're very talented. They ought to be on the platform. Well, hold on. It's not about talent. Amen? So there are tough decisions that sometimes shepherds have to make that the sheep are not going to understand. Now, here I'm saying all that to say this. Either you can hear our voice or you can't. So you're going to have to trust that if we're doing it, it's for a reason and it's for that person's sake and for the sake of the body. And what happens is, so many times, because that person maybe is charismatic or they're good with people or whatever, people just can't imagine that there's an issue there in their character that God is trying to change. God is trying to change. And so we have to take certain steps for that to happen, or else they'll continue on down their path of destruction. Now hear what I'm saying. If you're not careful, you will get in the way of what God is trying to do in that person. That's why I always tell people, even when somebody's out on the street with a sign saying hungry, you know, they want you to give them money or whatever, you better ask the Lord whether or not that's what he wants you to do in that moment. Don't just let that false mercy or compassion just start giving, because all you're doing is enabling them to stay in that same situation. You don't know whether or not God is dealing with that person, and they're in that situation because they're in rebellion to God, and what they need is to stop being, what's the word, well, you're helping them enable. Yeah, we got to stop enabling. Now, here's the other thing. Don't use that as an excuse of saying, I'm not going to enable them. If the Holy Spirit says you stop and give them money or do whatever he tells you to do, you do it, because God knows where that person's at. But we have to ask him what he wants us to do in all of those instances. And it's the same way even within a body, even within a church. And I've had to learn this the hard way. There were times when pastors I sat under made decisions I didn't understand about certain people. Well, I didn't know those people had the issues they had. And so here's the thing about a pastor. The pastor cannot tell everybody in the congregation what this problem is. You don't want the pastor telling everybody in the congregation your issues. So when a person is having issues and they're going through a disciple process or discipline process, we're not able to tell everybody about it. Why? Because now you cut off their opportunity for repentance and restoration. Everybody get that? Everybody understand that? Okay, so listen, we've had to learn the hard way on all of this. When the Lord called us to pastor, first of all, I didn't have a clue how to do it and honestly didn't want to do it. But the Lord made it happen. And I'll never forget, we were in church in Oklahoma that we were serving in under Pastor Wesley Berry. And I'll never forget, I'm playing the guitar because this is what I'm comfortable doing. It's kind of like Peter with his fish. I'm playing the guitar. I was comfortable doing that. I could do that all day long. Man, you put a guitar in front of me and I'll sing to you and I would play that guitar. But to get me to stand in front of a bunch of people and preach, I didn't want to do that. And Pastor Wesley, for whatever reason, while I'm playing the guitar, he just, I know it was the Holy Spirit that led him. He never even told me why he did this, but he got out of his chair. He had a chair up on a platform. He got out of that chair, and he went and he knelt at the altar. And the Lord set my focus on that, and he started telling me, I need you to get down to that altar. And I'm just playing that guitar. He said, I need you to get down to that altar. And I'm just playing that, oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I'm serving you, Jesus. I'm up here playing this guitar for you. And he says, again, you need to get down to that altar. And finally, I took the guitar off. I'll never forget it. I took it off. I put it on the stand, and I went and knelt at the altar. And the moment my knees hit that floor, the moment that happened, I began to cry and shake. And all I could say is, God, I won't run anymore. I won't run anymore. I won't run anymore. And nobody else in that building knew what was going on in me in that moment. But I knew what it was God was calling me to pastor, and I didn't want to do it. Part of it was fear. Part of it was just, again, like I said, really selfishness, because I didn't want to go through the things I'd seen my pastor go through. I'd seen people betray him and them, because as a couple, I've seen people betray them. I saw people put the knife in their back. I saw people not just put the knife in their back, but twist that knife in their back, spiritually speaking. I heard people who would leave there and gossip and smear their names all over town. Or they would go home and eat lunch and smear their name around the table to their family and their kids. I didn't want to go through all that. But I'll never forget when the Lord broke that in me. And that moment I began to say, Lord, okay, I'll do it. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And we had opportunities, people invited us to go and preach and so on. They needed a pastor. And we went to this one particular church, and man, they had a completely remodeled building, and they had a beautiful two-story remodeled parsonage that we would live in, and all of that, salary and all of that stuff. And they wanted us. They wanted us to go and become the pastors. And so I ended up talking to Pastor Wesley. Listen, this is one of the reasons you need a shepherd. I went to the shepherd in my life in that moment, and I said, this is what has happened, and we have the opportunity to go there. And thank God he heard from the Lord and told me what the Lord was showing him, and he said, if I were you, I wouldn't do it. And he told me, I want you to know that, this, first of all, this is your first church. He said, I just believe that this is not where you should be. You're going to be stepping into a pit of vipers. This is the way he put it to me. He said, I really believe. He said, you can do it if you want, but you need to know, I really don't believe you should go take that church. And I remember telling him, I'm not going to let fear hold me back anymore. And he said, I don't want you to let fear hold you back either, but I'm telling you, I don't believe this is what God has for you. And then he asked me this crazy question. He said, would you ever pastor a church in Iway? Before he could get that out of his mouth, he said, oh, no, 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 no. No, no, I might go here or there no, that ain't going to happen. And I bought into this idea that, a prophet's without honor in his own hometown and all that. So I said, no, that's not going to happen. And then my mom decided to make trouble. And I don't know, maybe a week after that, she called and she said, this has turned into a ministry, a church, and needs a pastor. And she said, you know you're a pastor. And God had been dealing with me about that. And so she just said, I'm just asking you to pray. Y'all pray about it and see if God would have you come to Iway. And so here we are, right? We prayed about it. The Lord confirmed, and here we are. And then the Lord let us experience things right up front. Everything that I feared as a pastor, he let us go ahead and experience that real quick. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. And yeah, so I said all that to say, I thank God that I had a shepherd speaking into my life, even in that moment, about this part of my calling, because what God did is he protected us. Now, he knew we were going to go through some stuff, but we weren't going to go through the same stuff we were going to have to go through at that other church. Now, what I found out there was, after we got back here, what I found out there was the very church that wanted us to go and take over, there was adultery going on in the leadership. There was one of the interim pastor's wife was actually, she worked at a bank and was caught embezzling money. They had all this stuff. It looked good on the outside, but something was rotten on the inside. The praise and worship leader was admitted to being involved in pornography and all kinds of stuff. This stuff was all going on, and God spared us from that. Now, so I said all that to say, I thank God I had a shepherd speaking into my life, or I would have made a really bad mistake, all right? So let me give you one more, because we said, first of all, the sheep are vulnerable. And we're not going to take long to do this. We'll give you, if you'll give me a couple of minutes. Number three, the sheep are gullible. So we're vulnerable and we're gullible. Anybody here ever figured out you were gullible about something? Sure. Sheep must have someone provide direction for them. If not, they're going to make poor choices. They're going to make poor judgments. And remember, before feeling too insulted about this, being called gullible and vulnerable, remember it's Jesus who called a sheep. The Bible compares God's people to sheep who need a shepherd. Jesus cried over it. He said they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Pastors are really just under shepherds. He hired us to watch over his sheep, and they're his sheep, and we can never forget that. So we're really under shepherds working under the direction of the chief shepherd. And the moment we ever start thinking that somehow the sheep are ours instead of his, he's going to have to get another under-shepherd. Jesus said, and by the way, we have many examples of those under-shepherds being taken down when that happens. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, the voice of another they will not follow. So when Jesus is speaking through us, if we're the shepherds that God put in your life, you're going to hear Jesus' voice through us, right? It's not our voice. It's his voice through us. And if you can't hear his voice through us, again, church growth specialists will not tell you to do this, will not tell a pastor to do this, but if you can't hear his voice through us, you're in the wrong church, and you need to go find out where he is, where he wants you to be, all right? And you're not going to fill your church up preaching like that, but I'm telling you, I'd much rather people be where they're supposed to be, because that is the heart of a pastor, the heart of a shepherd. I'm not interested in just filling seats for the sake of filling seats. So the under-shepherd has to learn that if the sheep can't hear their voice, then they're not really part of their fold. And the chief shepherd has given them, you know, there's another place that they need to be. And the chief shepherd has given somebody the ability to let his voice flow through them. So all sheep need a shepherd, though, including me. I'm a sheep. I have a shepherd. If a shepherd is not there to lead the sheep to green pastures, here's the problem. They'll eat anything. If you know anything about sheep, if you don't lead them and guide them and kind of keep them somewhat corralled in certain spaces, they'll just go out and eat anything. And so they make poor choices about what they eat. They'll wander away from the shepherd and they'll eat poisonous plants and weeds and bitter roots, and they'll eat a lot of it. And it's the same way with people. They'll go out and they'll feed on gossip and negativity and selfish ambition and offenses and all of this stuff, and they feed on that. And then what happens is, just like the sheep, they'll indulge so much to the point that their bellies will get full of gas, and then they just can't even stand. They just lie down because they're so bloated they can't even stand anymore. Now, spiritually speaking, it's the same way. We get so full of this poisonous stuff that it bloats us up to where we can't stand for Christ anymore. And we can't stand in Christ anymore. And it's a very painful thing. And so they just roll over on their backs and they can't get up. And then they, what do? They start complaining. Bah! Bah! And that's, by the way, that's where we get the word belly aching from. When somebody is, when they tell you, quit your belly aching, this is where it came from. It came from sheep eating the wrong stuff, getting bloated, falling over on their back, going, bah! It's called belly aching. Why? Because their belly aches. And people do the same thing spiritually. So they just lay there, easy prey for the wolves. Because the wolf hears them complaining, and he knows that the shepherd is probably not around, or at least that they've kind of, you know, ran away to go get what they want instead of what the shepherd thinks they should eat for their good. And they'll go and they'll just fill themselves with all kind of stuff. We've seen it many times. People will, I thank God for YouTube. A lot of good can come out of YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. You can learn how to do just about anything on YouTube. But spiritually speaking, what we find is people are always going to YouTube, listening to all kinds of junk that's controversial, and it's not something that God has sanctioned for them to have for themselves, and they fill themselves with all kinds of doubt and everything instead of faith. And instead of feeding their faith, they feed their doubt. And then they wonder why they struggle spiritually. What are they doing? They're eating weeds and poisonous plants and everything else, right? And they're getting bloated. And then when people are miserable, they complain. It's just what they do. So that wolf knows when he hears that, there's easy prey there. And if they're fortunate, they haven't wandered too far from the shepherd, and then he's going to come and save them. But you know how he comes and saves them? He has to burst their bubble. And I didn't think y'all were going to like this message that much, but he's got to burst their bubble. Literally, that shepherd will take a sharp object, sometimes a sharp reed or something, and he literally has to go and poke it into the belly of that sheep to relieve them from all that poisonous gas. He's going to penetrate that gas bubble. And so for the bloated Christian, pastor has to do the same thing, except the difference is it's the sharp point of the sword of the Word of God that's used. We don't always like everything that's coming at us from the Word of God, but you know, sometimes we just need to be deflated, right? It's usually our ego that needs to be deflated. We're bloated with all kinds of stuff. And then the whole time while the pastor's trying to do that, I mean, I remember Pastor Cindy was talking to someone, and she was, the person asked for help, and so she was just giving her scripture, and the person said, I don't need a bunch of scriptures. I just need to know what to do. You know, what they really wanted was somebody to pet their flesh and feel sorry for them. Well, that's not what shepherds do. And so the whole time they're complaining. The shepherd's got the sword of the Word, and he's having to, kind of like today, he's having to poke that, trying to get that bad gas out. And the whole time they're going, bad, 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 pastor. So how many Christians feed their spirit on the wrong things? They start to listen to and come into agreement with bitterness and negativity or worldly thinking. And listen, like some sheep, many feed their hearts and their minds whatever is easily accessible. So is it possible that Christians could feed off of these things and become bloated and end up rolling over so that the devil can just go bite them right in the throat? It happens all the time. Think about it. Is it possible that you can indulge in the wrong stuff? Have you ever known somebody who keeps indulging in negative or bitter talk or thinking? Now, another thing about sheep is this, that sometimes they can just be too compliant. So they'll resist the shepherd and be compliant to the wolf. Come on, somebody. And here's a fact about a sheep that many of you don't even realize, that a sheep sometimes can be so compliant that the wolf can come and literally be chewing off their back leg, and they'll just stand there and let it happen. Just like people come and they, you know, when they're gossiping and when they're, you know, embittering and when they're, you know, they're chewing your leg off is what they're doing. So if a wolf wants to eat them, they just sometimes let them. And so he will just stand there, let the enemy devour them. Many times, really, because we're gullible, we don't even see it happening till we try to walk away and we're crippled. Have you ever had anybody come and spread their poison gossip to you? And you just stood there distracted while the wolf ate away. Well, you couldn't figure out why you were having such trouble in your Christian walk, but sometimes that's the reason. Sheep must have a shepherd because they will follow the wrong influences, which will lead to their destruction. Understand that sometimes not only will you find wolves in the sheep pen, but sometimes you will find goats. Now, we're going to talk about that next week. I've been talking about the sheep, but we're going to talk about the goats a little bit next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've been called to be your sheep. Lord, I thank you that your heart, you value us, and your heart goes out to us. Lord, you long to watch over us and to protect us. And I thank you, Lord, that you have sent shepherds into all of our lives. Lord, may we hear your voice through them. Father, I thank you that, Lord, when you gave me a shepherd, you graced me to hear your voice through him. And Lord, when that shepherd was no longer available, Lord, you gave me another shepherd, and I can hear your voice through him. Lord, I pray for specifically for this people, for this church, anyone hearing the sound of this voice today, Lord, that they would be able to hear your voice. Lord, it's not about a man trying to establish his ministry. This is about an under-shepherd trying to take care of your sheep under your direction. And Lord, that's what every church is really about. That's what it's supposed to be about. So Father, I pray, help us. Lord, help us. I'm asking for wisdom for the shepherds of this house, Lord, that you would help us to direct your sheep. You would help us. You would give us your wisdom for every decision. Lord, help us to hear clearly, Lord, when they need help or direction. But Father, I'm also praying as sheep, Lord, because we're sheep too. I'm a sheep too. I'm praying, Father, Lord, help us to not get caught up eating the wrong things. Help us to not get caught up, Lord, resisting the voice that you put in our life, chasing something else. Lord, I'm grateful that anyone would come and be a part of this ministry and hear your voice through us. Lord, it's not a contest. Lord, it's not a contest with other pastors or other churches. It's not a competition. But Father, we're asking that for the sheep that you give to us to watch over, Lord, that you would help us to protect them and watch over them and to guide and to teach. And Lord, may we always give them something to eat that is nutritious, that helps them become who you want them to be. And Lord, give us all the grace to receive that which we need to receive from those shepherds in our lives. And we thank you for that. Forgive us for our rebellion. Forgive us for the times when we've wandered off. Thank you, Lord, for degassing us with your word. May that always be the case for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in agreement, won't you say amen? Amen. Amen.